السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ. اشہد ان لا الہ الا اللہ وحدہ لا شریک لہ واشہد ان محمدًا عبدہ ورسولہ. اما بعد فاعوذ باللہ من الشیطان الرجیم. بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. الحمد للہ رب العالمین الرحمن الرحیم مالک یوم الدین ایاک نعبد و ایاک نستعین اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. الله تعالى کا
It is the grace and blessings of Allah the Almighty upon us that we have been enabled to enter the bed, i.e. the oath of initiation of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. On the one hand, this is something that should be a means of increasing us in our faith. But if we fail to increase in our faith and belief after having accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam, then we have derived no benefit from accepting him. However, on the other hand, we should also openly convey the message of Islam without any kind of inferiority complex or fear. There are some youth, young men and women alike, who sometimes feel that due to the current condition of the Muslims and because of the evil and disorder that is attributed towards them, they should therefore avoid speaking about Islam. Though by the grace of Allah the Almighty, most are very active, because according to the reports in respect to the distribution of leaflets, etc., it reflects that a large percentage participated. However, there are still some people who at times fall prey to some kind of inferiority complex. And though they refer to themselves as Muslims, because after all they are Muslims, but they do not openly express it as one should. However, by witnessing the actions of the other Muslims, we should become even more courageous in order to show the true image of Islam to the world. We should tell the world that the current state of Islam, in fact, testifies to the truthfulness of Islam. This is because the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, had foretold that a time shall come when the condition of the Muslims will deteriorate and disorder and evil will become widespread, and the so-called ulama, i.e. the scholars, will be responsible for this. Furthermore, the Muslims will be immersed in worldly pursuits, and it will be during this time that the advent of the promised Messiah and the promised Mahdi will take place, and he will present the true image of Islam to the world, and he will convey the true message of Islam to the world. Islam ke haqeeqi paigham ko duniya mein phailayega. And we Ahmadis are those who have accepted the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and who follow the true teachings of Islam, which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has beautifully shown us and also taught us. Therefore, we need not to be in any kind of inferiority complex. Some people have become too involved in worldliness in the Western countries. And though they verbally claim to give preference to faith over all worldly things, however, in reality their practice is contrary to it. The Ahmadis here are very good with integrating with the people here and also in showing good morals. But their standards of worship and fulfilling the rights of Allah the Almighty are not that of what is expected from an Ahmadi. Similarly, there is weakness in their relations with one another and various complaints are received, in which office bearers are lacking in mutual respect when dealing with people. Also, there is a need for people to increase their level of respect they have in their hearts for the office bearers. The purpose of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's advent was not just to establish a jamaat, i.e. a community, which was to reform the beliefs, but also to bring about a practical reform in every aspect and at every level. Thus, every one of us needs to assess themselves as to whether we are striving for this. As more and more mosques are being built in Germany, and also as more jamaats are being established, the jamaat is gaining more exposure, and subsequently the world will look at us more critically. Naturally, as our numbers increase, the jamaat will become further introduced to the world. And the more we become introduced to the world, the more critically we will be viewed. And this is continually increasing. Thus, this demands from us that we improve our standards of practical conduct and that we also fulfill the purpose of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam's bayt. I always say this and will once again remind you all that 99.9% of the Ahmadis who have migrated here to the Western countries is not because of their own talents or qualities. Rather, it is because of Ahmadiyyat. And therefore, every Ahmadi who lives here is a silent preacher of Ahmadiyyat. By the grace of Allah the Almighty, due to the good example of the Ahmadis here, and also because of their good relations in society, they have left a good impression on the people about the community, and people express this at various occasions. In the last few days, various functions for the foundation stone laying and also for the inauguration of some of the mosques were organized. And the local people of these areas were also in attendance, and the sentiments they expressed about the Jamaat, and also the officials and local politicians expressed their views. They all point out to the fact that by the grace of Allah the Almighty, the local Ahmadis of the area have left a good impression upon their local neighbors.
Lekin
However, I also realized that the true teachings of Islam have not been introduced to the local neighbors to the extent that it should have been. This is because when I address those people at these functions in regards to the teachings of Islam, or whenever I have spoken to these people, many of them say that they were not aware of the true teachings of Islam until now. All of them unanimously said that these beautiful aspects of the true teachings of Islam were hidden from us, and our view of Islam was that which only the media portrays. They also said that though we have acquaintance with some Ahmadis and we attended the function upon their invite, however, we still harbored many reservations. Therefore, to have and maintain a personal relation with someone is completely different to inviting someone at a Jamaat level to one of its functions and to speak to them in regards to the Jamaat. People will think that although he is my friend and he is a good individual, however, I don't know what the condition of his Jamaat, i.e. his community, is and what kind of views they have, and perhaps they may also be extremists. Thus, these people also had some reservations, and this in fact is a general impression the world has, and I have observed that the non-Muslims of every country of the world have such reservations, in that they don't know what will happen if they attend a Muslim function. And they fear that perhaps they may be dealing with extremists. However, in various places, they then have also said to me that after attending our functions, they realized that their views were completely wrong. And after hearing about Islam, they realized that Islam is a peaceful religion and it's a religion that spreads love. And also that the actions of a minority cannot be attributed to Islam. As I mentioned, that in the various functions organized here as well as in other parts of the world, I have met many people, including the functions that have been held here, who say that after listening to you, not only have our reservations been removed, but also that if ever we are inclined towards following a particular faith, then we shall come to the Ahmadiyya Muslim community. I shall present a few examples of how people's views have completely changed after listening to the message of Islam. The first function for the inauguration of the mosques was perhaps in Walshut. And one of the guests, Simon Claus, said that my view about Islam has completely transformed. Today I have learned about the true meaning of jihad. And after learning of the true meaning of jihad, there is no reason to fear from the word jihad. In fact, there is nothing that one needs to fear about. He further states, prior to attending the function, I feared that there could be a terrorist attack committed against me. And therefore, even though I had accepted the invitation, but I decided not to attend the function. However, a friend of mine who had researched into the community on the internet and had also seen some videos, told me that this was a very peaceful community and therefore told me that there is no harm in attending their function. However, he states that I still had some fear. But now I'm extremely thankful for the fact that I was able to attend this function today. And after attending your function, I realize that you people do not take lives. In fact, you are the ones who give life due to the compassion you have for mankind and because of the service you provide for humanity. Another guest, Dr. France, said, "Today, I have witnessed an Islam that is not spread by promoting hatred, but in fact, it is spreading through love." A lady who attended the inauguration of the second mosque said, "What I have heard today, I have never heard this before from any other Muslim leader." And another lady said, "That today I have learned that Islam is a peaceful and merciful religion. And I have also learned that how much Islam actually protects the rights of neighbors." A Syrian Muslim also attended the function and said that today was a very emotional day for me. I was told before coming to the event, or this was the general view, that Ahmadis are not Muslims and their Quran is also different. However, today I have learned that this was all completely untrue. And Ahmadis read and adhere to the same Quran as the rest of the Muslims, and also believe in the same Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as them. And after meeting me, he then said that after meeting the Khalifa of the time, it is quite possible that I will also become an Ahmadi. And the same kind of sentiments were also expressed by the guests who came here when the foundation stone for the mosque was laid, and similarly in Marburg. The Vice Chancellor of Marburg University said that I am completely overcome with emotions at this moment in time. And after listening to the address of the Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya community, particularly after listening to the explanation of the concept of two heavens. In my address, I presented the concept of two heavens. In fact, I spoke about the teachings of Islam and said that there is a heaven in this world and also one in the hereafter. So she said that I was particularly impressed after listening to the explanation of the concept of two heavens. And also, that how one can attain heaven in this world, which in fact is like a precursor of the heaven in the hereafter. She also said that I have also learned about the life of the founder of Islam, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also about the early history of Islam. I also learned how Islam teaches one to fulfill the rights of others. She further said that if the world comes to understand all of this, then this will establish peace, love and brotherhood in the world. This lady was so emotional that the person who she was speaking to said that she began to cry and said that she cannot say anything more as she does not have the strength to continue. Now, this is a Christian lady who came to a Muslim function and previously had no knowledge of the teachings of Islam. In fact, Amir Sahib, the national president of the Jamaat in Germany, told me that she was unaware of Islam and was searching for her. She was a vice chancellor and therefore was a very educated lady. And after listening to the address, she became so emotional that she could not even control her emotions. So this is how beautiful the teachings of Islam are. And therefore, we need not to be in any kind of inferiority complex. A lady called Mrs. Ister said, "Today your Khalifa has answered all those questions which I thought of in my heart before coming." She further said, "However, I fear that after having listened to those beautiful words, when I go back home, it is quite possible that tomorrow someone who seeks to defame the name of Islam will carry out a terrorist act in the name of Islam. And consequently, the people's attention will be diverted towards him, and they will forget about this peaceful message. And this is the anguish and pain that I have. Thus, these are the kinds of sentiments that are emerging in the hearts of people. Similarly, there are several comments from other guests. Everywhere we receive sentiments akin to this, and just as the aforementioned lady stated, that people will forget any peaceful message. This indeed is the reality, especially when it comes to the media, who always try to prevent any positive portrait of Islam from being highlighted. For this reason, it is our responsibility to continue spreading this message, which consists of love, reconciliation, and fulfilling the rights of God and His creation. Every negative act that is committed in the name of Islam by some individuals and so-called Muslims should be counteracted by us by demonstrating the positive teachings before the world. As for the guests and other people that attended our various functions, it is now important to keep in contact with those whom you have formed a relationship. What was the reason behind the impact this had on them? And what was the reason for it? Essentially, we recite the same Quran that the rest of the Muslims do, and also observe prayer in the same manner that the other Muslims pray. We believe in the same Sharia, i.e. the Islamic teachings, that was revealed to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, and believe in him to be the last prophet. The reason why it had such an impact was because we have accepted the promised Messiah ﷺ. And as I mentioned before, that the promised Messiah ﷺ has openly elucidated the teachings of Islam by explaining the true teachings of the Quran. And it is the responsibility of every Ahmadi to spread these teachings. Thus, alongside reforming our actions, we also need to distribute the literature of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. And this is our task. In fact, it is our responsibility. And as I mentioned previously, the foundation stone of the Marburg Mosque was laid, in which there were Muslims present and also many guests attended, including university professors and students, as well as the Vice Chancellor, whose sentiments I mentioned earlier. And among them were two university professors of Egyptian origin who taught Islamic studies and Arabic. Upon my asking, they mentioned that in the Islamic studies course, they teach Islamic philosophy. And so I asked them that if they had read the philosophy of the teachings of Islam written by the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, and they replied no. I told them that they must read this book, because without this, one cannot fathom the intricacies of the philosophy of Islam, no matter how much knowledge one gains from different sources. I was shocked to find out that the National Secretary Ishad, i.e. the Secretary for Publications, who had brought them along and in university was perhaps a former student of one of them, or perhaps he is still studying there, but despite his close relationship with them and despite knowing their subject of interest, however, they were not given this book. Nevertheless, I told him to arrange for this immediately. And I received a letter from him yesterday in which it was written that he had provided the book for them. They should have been sent the books in the Arabic language, as they would understand the book better in their native language. This book is such that countless Arabs have written to me saying that after reading this book, they have truly understood Islam. And even other people, including Christians, have written to me saying that this book has overturned their opinions. The late Mustafa Sabit Sahib was a great scholar of the Jamaat who had a deep insight. In fact, he had a profound understanding of Islam as well. And even he would say that the biggest factor that brought him towards Ahmadiyyat was this book, i.e. the philosophy of the teachings of Islam. Thus, when one meets educated people, they should give them this book. Some of our university students, both girls and boys, believe that by reading about ancient jurists and scholars or studying imams and saints of the past, their knowledge has increased manifold, and that now there is nobody that can challenge their knowledge. Perhaps they may have increased their knowledge in this respect. However, the non-Ahmadi scholars have more knowledge than them in this regard. Therefore, just by reading that alone, one should not consider themselves as a scholar. If anyone entertains such a thought, they should rid themselves of it. One should leave aside the scholars and the saints of the past, as now the true knowledge and the correct concept of Islam can only be perceived through the knowledge of the writings of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Remember, the verdicts issued by the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, are the actual rulings. And whatever commentaries that have been written by the Khulafa of the Jamaat on the basis of his literature are in fact the true commentaries. And you should read them and increase your knowledge through them. The promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, was sent as the just arbiter of this era. And this is a fact that we should always bear in mind. Therefore, whatever the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, has pronounced, that is the truth and the real teachings of Islam. And do not suppose that by reading the books of others, the books of other scholars, or the books of jurists, or the books of imams of the past, that one will become a scholar. One cannot become a scholar unless they read the books of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam. Since God Almighty has sent the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, for the reformation of this era, He also bestowed with him divine knowledge. On one occasion, the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated, "Whosoever professes belief should ensure that their faith evolves into conviction and cognizance, rather than falling prey to suspicion and doubt. Hearken, conjecture will never prove to be beneficial. God Almighty Himself declares." That surely conjecture avails nothing against truth. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further states, "It is only true conviction that can enable one to become successful. Nothing can be achieved without it. If one were to use evil suspicions in every matter, then it is well nigh that he may not survive in this world even for a moment." The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, further elaborates by presenting an example. For example, if one does not drink any water, citing that perhaps there is poison mixed inside, or that they are unable to eat anything bought from outside, as it may contain fatal substances, how can such an individual survive? The promised Messiah states that this is a broad example. Similarly, man can derive benefit in the matters pertaining to spirituality. The promised Messiah continues to say, "Now, just think for yourselves and derive a conclusion from your own hearts, that if, having performed the bath on my hand and accepting me as the promised Messiah and the just arbiter, yet after professing this belief you still harbor any malice or discomfort in your hearts owing to a certain decision or action of mine, then you should be concerned." The promised Messiah continues by saying, "Faith that is maligned with doubts and suspicions will not be able to derive any virtuous outcome. However, if you have accepted with a true heart that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, is the authentic arbitrator, then you should throw down your armaments before his verdicts and actions. Remain silent and accept that which is explained to you. Treat his verdicts with respect so that you may be deemed to those who show respect and revere the pure teachings of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further adds, the testimony of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam should suffice, in which he said that the promised Messiah that will appear will be your imam, and he will be the just arbiter. If one is not content with this, then what is it that will prove to be adequate? For one to have faith, yet also harbor evil suspicions in certain parts of the heart, can never prove to be beneficial nor blessed. If I am not truthful, then leave and search for the truthful one. Be absolutely certain that there is no other truthful one. Subsequently, if you fail to find another truthful one, and never shall you find one, then I seek only that right that was granted to me by the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those people who have rejected me and raised allegations against my person and have failed to recognize me. And as for those who have accepted me and having entered into the bath, still makes assertions, their state is even more deplorable, for they were rendered blind despite previously being able to see. This is a grave matter that a person professes to have faith, yet still harbors certain doubts in their hearts. Thus, having become blind, despite the fact that one was able to see, makes one more culpable of sin. The promised Messiah alayhi salam further states, in actuality, being the contemporary of another diminishes their status and grandeur. Living together in the same era prevents one from recognizing and understanding the status of another. That is why Prophet Jesus alayhi salam stated, a prophet is not without honor, but in his own country. The promised Messiah further elaborates by saying that one can gauge from this the level of anguish and suffering he, i.e. Jesus, had to endure from his fellow countrymen. Therefore, this practice is found in conjunction with the way of the prophets. Why then would our case differ in any way? Thus, some people raise allegations against Ahmadiyyat or against the claims of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam by saying that the religious scholars from among his own people rejected him and declared Ahmadis to be non-Muslims. And these include Arabs as well as people of other nations. However, for them, this argument should be sufficient that prophets appeared among every nation in every era, yet his own people rejected him. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, whatever we had to endure from our opponents was a direct result of this practice. In fact, the opposition to any prophet or opposition to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam is an argument in favor of his truthfulness, because this is the practice of Allah the Almighty with respect to his prophets. Allah the Almighty states, meaning that there comes not a messenger to them, but they mock at him. Whilst addressing his opponents, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam states, alas, if my opponents came to me with pure intentions, then I would show them that God, which has bestowed upon me, and as a result, God Almighty would send down His grace and enlighten them. However, they treated this matter with miserliness and jealousy. How do I explain to them in this condition? However, it is our responsibility as the ones who have accepted that if we have professed belief, then we must ensure we form a connection with that God. We should not become engulfed by worldly pursuits, as this world is only temporary. Therefore, we should be anxious about our life in the hereafter. The promised Messiah alayhi salam states, when man turns in search of the truth path with a sincere heart, then all matters are resolved. However, if one intends to spread mischief and use profane language, then there is no hope. He further adds, in Hijjajul Kirama, it is written with reference to Ibn Arabi that he stated, when the promised Messiah will appear, he will be declared an infidel and an ignorant one, to the extent that it will be said that he wishes to bring changes to the faith. In the present climate, this is taking place, and they also assert this allegation against me. People will not be released from this until they conceal the manual of their own reasoning, and by putting to one side, they worry about whether this is the truth or not. Instead, they should ponder over this fact and then pray to Allah the Almighty whether this is true or not. The promised Messiah alayhi salam continues, "Indeed, some matters are incomprehensible. Nevertheless, those people who believe in the prophets do so because they think piously with patience and steadfastness, resulting in God Almighty revealing the truth for them." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam stated, "At the time of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the companions would not ask any questions, but rather would wait for others to ask questions so that they could benefit from them. They would sit quietly in acceptance and did not dare to ask anything." The promised Messiah alaihi salatu wasalam states, "In my view, this is the best approach to show etiquette. One who fails to understand the etiquettes that must be shown to prophets and chooses not to follow it engages in harmful thinking and should be afraid lest he is led to ruin." The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has advised his own followers here as well to not think ill about others and that pointless questions should not be asked. Thus, first and foremost, we need not to be in any kind of inferiority complex, as I have already mentioned. Also, in certain matters where elders and saints have given opinions, they hold no value as compared to any of the views or decisions that have been given on that issue by the Hakam and Adil, i.e. the judge and arbiter, which is the promised Messiah alayhi salam. Those past saints served Islam greatly during their respective time periods and strove to guide the Muslims within their spheres. However, now, after the Khatamul Khulafa, i.e. the greatest Khalifa, and the Khatamul Awliya, i.e. the greatest saint, and the reformer of the latter days, and the Hakam and Adal, i.e. the just and arbiter, has appeared. Now his decisions, knowledge and teachings on Islam are all the truth, whilst all else is incorrect. After carrying out the bath, we have to follow him, and this is something we should always keep in mind. This indeed is the true Islam, which is appreciated by the world today, as I have mentioned. And why are we respected in the world? It is because we present Islam as taught to us by the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And I have presented many examples of this already, and there are many more such examples which demonstrate this. As I also said, the second point that we should remember is that reading the literature and books of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam that he has left behind for us is the means to gaining knowledge on the true Islam. Thus, where you should read it yourselves, you should also give it to others who you are very well acquainted with and who are good-natured people. It is essential that you share this literature with them, including literature relating to everyday problems and matters. And it is very necessary that we do so. In short, every Ahmadi should strive themselves to derive maximum benefit from the literature of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, and they should also convey it to others. We should never worry what the world will think in response, and nor how non-Ahmadi Muslims or worldly people review what we say. The prophets and chosen ones of God Almighty come to the world at a time when worldliness and materialism are rampant and corruption besets the religion. And when the majority of the world forsakes religion, and it is the task of the prophets and the chosen ones to bring them back onto the right path. And so, by accepting the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, we hold the burden of reforming the world, and we will face opposition in doing so. The worldly people, will form laws to their benefit and pleasure. But if those laws are contrary to the laws of God, then we have to help reform the world and bring it to the right path while remaining within the confines of the law. And when bringing them to the right path, we must never display any kind of inferiority complex, and nor must we ever be afraid. Rather, we must carry out this task with wisdom. Thus, we shouldn't be scared. Whoever is wrong, and what the religion has deemed to be wrong, we have to call out as wrong. Every Ahmadi must instill this in their minds. In terms of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, who told his followers by citing the example of the Prophet, who said to not ask too many questions, was because this hinders the expression of complete obedience. This is why he said, when others, i.e. non-Ahmadis, visit and ask questions, the response they receive also becomes a source of reassurance and faith for those who believe. The Prophets have such insightful and deep perception that they can answer the question the person has in his mind. Therefore, if people can say about me, who is an extremely humble servant of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wassalam, that my address has answered all of their questions they had in their minds, then the perception of a prophet is far greater. They are able to answer even the most intricate and subtle aspects of the question. Thus, one should not think that there is no answer to a question. However, it is the duty of the believers to also raise their level of obedience. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I showed complete obedience to the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam. And the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam has also mentioned this. Hazrat Khalifatul Masih I used to sit in the gatherings in which the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam would be present. And according to the narrations, he used to sit with his head lowered and would not say anything and nor ask any question. However, when those who would come and ask questions, then he would also benefit from it and take note of it. Also, he would listen attentively to what the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam would say and benefit from it. And you must also remember, and I have also mentioned this before as well, that it is not that the religion of Islam does not have the answers to particular questions. Certainly not. In fact, Islam has the answers for everything, and the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wassalam has given all the answers in his books and discourses. That is why I said, and I continue to say, that one should study the books of the promised Messiah. And this is something that is extremely vital in order for us to prove the superiority of Islam. Whether it is issues relating to jurisprudence, or issues of a general nature, or even philosophical and scholarly issues, all of these answers can be found in the literature of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the Khulafa have further explained them. Therefore, one needs to pay focus to this and study the literature and ponder over it. The promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam has repeatedly advised his Jamaat as to how they should be and what the condition of their faith should be like. In regards to this, I shall present an excerpt from his writings so that each one of us is able to fulfill the dues of our birth. Imparting an extremely important advice to his Jamaat, the promised Messiah states, "This current era is significantly worsening. There is all kinds of shirk, i.e. idolatrous practices, harmful innovations, and many other ills have become prevalent. Declaration made during the time of the Ba'ath that one shall give precedence to faith over all worldly things is in fact a declaration made before Allah the Almighty. And one should greatly ponder over the fact that this is a declaration made before Allah the Almighty. Thus, one should strive to adhere to this right up until one's last breath. Otherwise, let it be known that you have not done the Ba'ath. And if you firmly adhere to this, then Allah the Almighty shall bless your religious and worldly affairs." The promised Messiah further states, "Adopt righteousness just as Allah the Almighty has willed. These current times are extremely precarious and the divine wrath is becoming gradually apparent. And one who fashions himself according to the will of Allah the Almighty, then he will be showing mercy to his own self, offspring and progeny. in view of the current circumstances, which are significantly worsening, every one of us should ponder over these circumstances, and as a result, draw even closer to Allah the Almighty. The Promised Messiah further states, take the example of a person who eats bread. Until he does not eat according to his appetite, he will remain hungry. Will a morsel of bread satisfy his hunger? Certainly not. And if he puts only a drop of water down his throat, that single drop will not be able to save him. And despite this drop of water, he will die. The Promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam further states, in order to protect his life, one has to eat and drink an appropriate portion that is required to keep him alive. Otherwise, he cannot survive. The Promised Messiah states, the same is the case for the state of man's faith. Until man's faith does not reach a level where he is satiated and complete, there is no chance for survival. One should obey the commands of Allah the Almighty to the extent just as one consumes bread and water to satiate their hunger. The Promised Messiah further states, understand this clearly, that to disobey some commands of Allah the Almighty is akin to disobeying all commandments. If one part is saved for Satan and the other for God Almighty, then God Almighty does not like this compromise. God Almighty dislikes setting up partners with him. He further adds, this dispensation has been established so that man can find God Almighty. Even though moving towards God Almighty is a difficult task and requires a certain death to overcome oneself. But nonetheless, our only survival lies in this. Whosoever does away with the satanic influences inside them is an individual that is blessed. Their blessings can be felt everywhere in their own person, in their abode and their city. However, if even a trace remains, then they will not enjoy those blessings. Until one certifies their oath of allegiance through their actions, their oath holds no significance, just as if you were to declare verbally to another individual that you would carry out certain deeds, but then failing to carry them out would have leave him disappointed. The same is the case with matters pertaining to God Almighty. He is more honorable than most honorable among you. Is it possible for a person to obey God Almighty, but then also show obedience to his enemies? This is known as hypocrisy. In this matter, one should not worry for any other person. Rather, they should remain steadfast until their last breath. The Promised Messiah further states, there are two types of vice. One is to associate partners with God Almighty, failing to recognize His grandeur and becoming indolent in worshipping Him and obeying Him. And the second vice is not showing kindness to His people and failing to fulfill their rights. Thus, one should try to avoid both types of vice. Be firm in the obedience of Allah the Almighty and remain firm on the pledge you took. Do not pain the servants of Allah. Recite the Quran with deep understanding and also act upon it. And refrain from all futile, idolatrous gatherings and observe the five daily prayers. In short, there should not be a single command of Allah the Almighty that you overlook. Keep your body clean and your heart free from all excessive malice and jealousy. These are the points that Allah the Almighty requires from you. Now everyone should analyze themselves as to the extent they have saved themselves from futile and idolatrous gatherings. Many people will say that they believe in Allah the Almighty and do not sit in any idolatrous gatherings. But remember that whatever gathering it may be, whether it is the internet or the TV, any matter that is making you mindless of your prayers and worship is counted to be an idolatrous gathering. Thus, we must analyze ourselves with this level of depth. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, reminded us especially to observe the five daily prayers. And to observe prayer means to pray in congregation and to pray on time and with consistency. I have assessed the situation and I see a lot of weakness in this regard. People request prayers from me. But when asked if they pray for themselves and offer the obligatory prayers, the response is in the negative, or that they attempt to do this. Thus, if the person who is supplicating does not feel any pain for the prayer inside him, then how can someone else feel the pain that they should pray for them? Indeed, if one is fulfilling the dues owed to worship, then the prayers of others assist them. And this is exactly in line with what the Holy Prophet ﷺ has stated. The same is the case for social ills, as I briefly explained earlier, that some individuals do not have the levels of love, affection and brotherhood as they should do. On the contrary, they harbor malice, rancor and jealousy. Thus we need to look within ourselves and then make a judgment. Do not look towards other people at how they are. Instead, you should look towards reforming your own self. If one reforms themselves, then all the ill habits will be eradicated. And nobody can claim that they are free from all vices. Thus, we should always seek repentance from our mistakes and shortcomings. And that may Allah the Almighty enable all of us to achieve this. And having entered the birth of the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, may He enable us to do justice to it.
Alhamdulillah, nahmadu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiruhu wa nu'minu bihi wa natawakkalu alayhi wa na'uzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر.